and his rebellion against Moses and God's plan for the Aaronic high priesthood, and his, of course, his two cohorts, Dathan and Abiram, and then his 250 followers, and how God stepped in and executed two different punishments. One for the leaders. He did something he'd never done before and opened up the earth and swallowed them and their families and then closed the earth upon them. That was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then sent out fire and killed the 250 followers of the leaders of the rebellion. And as I said this morning, you would think that Israel's response would have been repentance, remorse, something along the lines after seeing God execute this punishment. But that wasn't true. Verse 41 is where we find ourselves. But on the morrow, so they've seen this punishment take place. They've seen their friends perish either in the earth opening up or through fire. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So our title tonight is "The Plague Is Begun." Lord, I pray for your will in our hearts tonight as we open your word together and hear from you. May you speak to us and have your will, Lord, in our walk as we talk this morning. May it be our desire to be obedient children. So thank you. We commit the service to you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is now the eighth time. Can you believe it? The eighth time that Israel has murmured against God. Just to summarize, the first time was at the Red Sea. God brought us out here to kill us. The second time was when there was nothing to drink after they crossed the Red Sea. The third time was when they had no food after they crossed the Red Sea. The fourth time was, again, when there was no water. And Rephidim, and then number five was they complained at Taberah. And then in number six and numbers 11, they wept about the manna. They were tired of it. They were lusting after food of Egypt. And then number seven was in chapter 14 of Numbers, where they murmured after the spies brought their evil report about the promised land. And their choice to murmur here instead of show some reverence or something is pretty amazing. But obviously their hearts aren't right, because look what they said in verse 41. "You have killed the people of the Lord." Well, if God killed them and Moses didn't do it, they're speaking to Moses saying, "Ye have killed the people." Well, Moses and Aaron didn't kill those people, did he? God opened up the earth. God sent out fire and killed those people. But they're blaming Moses and Aaron. So there's just no fear of God there. It's amazing that this would be their response. If they were the people of the Lord, then God wouldn't have killed them the way he did. They were rebels. And God killed them accordingly. But as I mentioned this morning, Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. They had no fear of God. And if you go to Hebrews 12:25, God actually talks about this event here in Hebrews 12. So They've already made two wrong, or stated two wrong truths, didn't they? Number one, they're saying you killed the people of the Lord, but God did it. And number two, they aren't the people of the Lord. They were rebels. Otherwise, God wouldn't have killed them. So that didn't take long for them to start stating untruths. But it says here, Hebrews 12:25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And so here again, it's all about rebellion. And the people are carrying on with this attitude. I don't know how to describe it, but they're murmuring, they're complaining, rather than saying, God, we want to follow you now. We want to obey you now. We want to do your will now. Instead, they complained. This time, God's going to get involved himself again. He doesn't ask Moses or Aaron to execute any punishment. He just said, he just showed up at the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord appeared again. He didn't say anything. He just appeared. So vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle. And what does God say? Verse 45, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. This is the fourth time already that God has threatened to destroy the whole nation of Israel and start over with Moses. Can you believe it? Four times. And four times Moses responded the same way, and that's he fell on his face. In this case, they both fell on their faces. But let's just look at the other three quickly. Exodus 32:10 was after the golden calf incident where Moses was up on the mountain, where God told Moses, you better go down because the people that you brought out of Egypt are sinning. And then Moses said, but God, you brought them out of Egypt. Exodus 32:10, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So there's God's first offer to start over with Moses. Then over in Numbers 14:12 is the second one. So let's turn over there, Numbers 14:12. It says, and I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. So this is the second time. This is when the people murmured about the food and about the promised land. And then the third time is Numbers 16:21. Yes, same chapter that we're in tonight. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. So three times God said, I'm going to kill them all. Three times Moses fell on his face and God didn't do it. This is the fourth time. And they did fall on their faces, but God still started a plague. So it's different this time, isn't it? Can God reach his limit with our rebellion? Yes, we've seen this now. We saw that six times, remember he said, you've tempted me 10 times. The first six, he said, this is the lesson you should have learned, no punishment. The last four, there was punishment involved. So you can push God to where he says, I've had enough. Obviously, Korah has already done it. He's dead. It's 250 followers have already done it. They're dead. And their choice was to murmur. And immediately, this plague begins, and people begin to die and fall over. So Moses' solution was to say, Aaron, not me, but Aaron, I want you to take a censer and put incense there. Well, now think about that. The whole battle in this entire chapter was over who was to be the high priest, wasn't it? And who was to be the leader? And remember, Moses said, all of you bring your censers, bring your incense. It's all about who is allowed to offer the incense, who's allowed to have a censer. So isn't it interesting that now that they're all dead, Moses' advice, if you will, to Aaron was get the censer. And run and get in between the dead and the living. And he uses the word atonement. Now that word, of course, it's a beautiful word for us as Christians. Amen. Many people have tried to define it as at-one-ment. If you look at Leviticus 17:11, we went through there. Leviticus 17:11 is definitely the key verse of the entire book of Leviticus. One of the key verses of the entire Bible is Leviticus 17:11. Look what it says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The word atonement is found in Leviticus 50 times. And you and I, if you go to Romans 5:11, are here tonight and on our way to heaven because of the atonement. Amen? Our atonement is not their atonement. Our atonement is the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, it satisfies God. It covers, is what the basic meaning is. It covers our sin in the blood of Jesus. Well, they didn't have the blood of Jesus, but they did have a high priest, Aaron, and he offered up this incense, which was picturing prayer, if you will, but also picturing the future payment. And God honored it, which is quite fascinating. God stopped the plague at that point where Aaron stood with his censer with the incense on it, but not until almost 15,000 people died in a few minutes. Can you even imagine? That's a lot of people. 15,000 people just begin to fall over and die. For what? Murmuring. For complaining. This is now the fourth plague that God has executed upon Israel. Of course, we won't look at them, but the first one was the golden calf. God sent a plague. When they lusted after the quails, in Numbers 11, God sent a plague. And then in Numbers 14, after the report of the 10 spies, God plagued and killed the 10 spies. So this is now the fourth plague. The fourth time, God threatened to start over with Moses. And the eighth time that Israel has murmured. This time, 15,000 people, as it says, though, beside them, verse 49, that died after the manna of Korah. That's already done. We don't know how many people that was, because God took their families, too. So it was over 1,000 people died with the fire and the earth opening up. Now, another almost 15,000 people killed by God directly. Moses didn't do this. Aaron didn't do this. Matter of fact, Moses and Aaron are the ones that rescued them, aren't they? God himself interceded and killed all these people for what? For murmuring. For murmuring and for complaining. And thank the Lord, Aaron and Moses returned unto Moses under the door, verse 50, and the plague was stayed. When God sends a plague, he doesn't mess around, does he? I mean, if they hadn't done what they did, who knows how far it would have gone? There were probably 3 million people. 15,000 died in a couple minutes. It would have just kept going. But because of this atonement offered up by the new high priest, Aaron, God stopped the plague and it was stayed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this was the end of their murmurings? If this was the end of their complainings? I'm here to tell you it's not. They just didn't learn. They just didn't get it. So we can certainly glean a lot from this chapter, can't we? If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. God hates rebellion and he hates murmuring. I think if you look back over the punishments that they've received, they receive more punishment for murmuring than anything else, which is another word for complaining. So where do we have a place to ever complain about our situation, our circumstances? We're saved. We're going to heaven. Amen. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. What is there to complain about? Especially to our Creator, who said that he will do everything that's good for us He's promised that all things will work together for good, that even the trials are for our good. So when we complain, what are we basically saying? But either that God is mean or that God is doing the wrong thing, which neither one of those things are true. They're actually quite blasphemous. So we need to be careful. Don't complain. Don't complain about your circumstances. Don't complain about your station, if you want to call it that. Don't complain about the trial you may be in. Just trust God. Because complaining angers God, as we've seen now, 8 times more than anything else in Israel's history. God got angry when they complained or murmured. And the plague had begun. Thank the Lord for the compassion, the mercy of Moses and Aaron. You know, 4 times now Moses had an opportunity to say, God, like Jonah, just let me go up on this hill and get out of the way. You wipe them all out and let's start over with me. Most of us would think that's not so bad, especially after he's had to put up with their rebellious attitude for so long. But that wasn't the type of man he was he? He was always falling on his face and saying, Lord, please don't destroy your people. What are the other nations going to say? What about your testimony? What about your promises that you made? Please, save them. And yet again, they interceded and God did not destroy. So the plague was begun, the plague was stayed because of atonement. Hallelujah. You and I were born with a plague. Amen? It's called sin. And sin condemned us to a place called hell for eternity. And our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, offered up an atonement. And the plague was stayed. Amen? And now, we're not going to die of that plague. We're not going to have eternal death. It's gone. We have been passed from death into life. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful Jesus did that for us? Voluntarily, suffered, died, paid the price with his blood, rose again, that we, as we read there in Romans, might receive the atonement. The plague has begun, the Garden of Eden, and for you and I, the plague has stayed. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this great lesson. I pray we'd learn it and apply it to our lives, Lord, that we wouldn't complain, that we would instead trust you and know that you always do what's best for us. Lord, that we would stay close to you as we talk this morning and strive to perfect holiness in our walk. We are truly grateful for the way you teach us and grow us through your precious word. And pray, Lord, that would continue, that we would continue to be more like our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ.